Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Shabbos Daf Memhei, right on top of the Amud, says the Gemara. Hachi Nami Mistavar, it too is very logical. What is logical? The Rav Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, that Rav adopts the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, he holds of Muktzah, Islei Muktzah, and he holds that when one item is Muktzah, Muktzah Machmas Isser, for instance, it was designated to be used for Isser, or served as a basis, Ladavar Asser, as a basis, a support for a forbidden item. And if that took place during Ben Hashmashes, during the point of entry of Shabbos, it retains its Muktzah status throughout the entire Shabbos. Where did we see that? Rav taught us that when there's money, which is Muktzah, money which is placed on a mita, on a bed, and if it was positioned there during the entry point of Shabbos, during Ben Hashmashos, the onset of Shabbos, the bed becomes Muktzah because it is a basis, L'davar Asur, is a basis to this money, which is Muktzah Machmas Gufay, has no practical use on Shabbos. Therefore, the bed also is Muktzah, and it retains its Muktzah status throughout the entire Shabbos, even after the money was already removed. Why? Because according to Yehuda, the status of Muktzah is determined when? At the onset of Shabbos, at the commencement of Shabbos, at the first point of Shabbos, during Ben Hashmashos. Why is that? Rashi in Maseches Beitza, Daf Chav Vav and Beis, tells us that according to Yehuda, we learn this from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ve'echinu aser sheyaviyu, that Klal Yisrael was meant to prepare their food on Erev Shabbos. So an item which is meant to be used on Shabbos requires hachana. It needs to be prepared beforehand. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if an item was Muktzah, was set aside, was holding up some money, and is considered to be the base, the basis of that money, and has a Muktzah status, or for that matter, a lamp which is burning during Ben Hashmashos, it's set aside, it's a melachta le'isser, or it's a you can't take the oil there because you're being mechaber there, for whatever reason it is set aside, it is a muktzah machmas isser, and therefore once it acquires that status at the onset of Shabbos, it is no longer prepared for Shabbos, it's not considered to be muchan for the Shabbos, and therefore even if the reason for the muktzah disappears, the catalyst of the muktzah goes away, There's no more reason to render this, to consider this to be Muktzah. Nevertheless, since it wasn't prepared for Shabbos, during Ben Hashmashos was Muktzah, once Muktzah is always Muktzah. Says the Gemara, okay, so apparently Rav, who tells us that when something is Muktzah Ben Hashmashos, it retains its status of Muktzah throughout the entire Shabbos, he's apparently following Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. Indeed, Hachanami Mistavar is very logical to say that, yes, Rav adopts Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, because this will be consistent with another halacha that Rav taught us, where it appears as well that Rav is following Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. Once again, Hachi Nami Mistava, indeed is very logical, the Rav can read the Svirle, that Rav is following Shittas Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Muktzah. The Omar Rav, because Rav taught us, Manichin Ner, one may place a lamp, he can place a lamp before Shabbos and have it sit on the Dekel, Agabi Dekel B'Shabbos, have it present on top of the palm tree throughout Shabbos. And there's no concern that perhaps after the flame goes out on Shabbos, he's going to remove the lamp from the dekel, from the tree on Shabbos, which is not allowed. In Rabbanim, one cannot use a tree on Shabbos. He can't place something on the tree. He can't remove something from the tree. There's a concern that he might go ahead and tear off a branch, a leaf. So Rav tells us that one may arrange to have a lamp sitting on a dekel on Shabbos. Why? Because even after the flame goes out, it'll still be Muktzah. Why is it Muktzah? Because once the lamp was burning during Ben Hashmashos, the entire Ner is Muktzah. And it is Muktzah not only for that moment, even after the flame goes out, it retains its Muktzah status, in accordance with Rav Yehuda. Because something which is Muktzah Ben Hashmashos retains the halacha of a Muktzah throughout the entire Shabbos. So there's no concern that he's going to remove the lamp from the tree and be over on this Rabbanon of using the tree on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, it's allowed. But on Yom Tov, there's a concern. If he allows the lamp to be positioned on the dekel, on the tree on Yom Tov, perhaps after the flame goes out, the Ner is not Mokta on Yontav, because one could handle a burning flame on Yontav. So there is a concern that he will go remove the lamp from the tree, and by doing so he's using the tree, is Oivar Nesed Rabbanon. So there's a chiluk between Shabbos and Yontav regarding allowing a lamp to be positioned on the tree. On Yontav, there's a concern that he might go and use the tree after the lamp goes out. He's going to take the lamp off the tree. On Shabbos, no concern, because the lamp is Muktzah. Says the Gemara, apparently Rav is following Shittas of Yehuda. E Amos Bishloima. It fits well if you say that the Rav can be Yehuda Sferle, the Rav adopts Yehuda's Shita. Hainu, this Shani ben Shabbos L'Yontav. If so, we have a clear distinction, a chiluk between Shabbos and Yontav. Since the lamp is Muktzah on Shabbos, why is it Muktzah? Because it was Muktzah ben Ashmashis. It continues to be Muktzah throughout Shabbos. There's no concern that he's going to remove the lamp from the tree. He's not going to use the tree on Shabbos. However, on Yontav, where the lamp is not Muktzah, there is a real concern that he's going to be Mishtamish B'ilon on Yontav. So you understand the difference. Eli Amris. But if you propose Rav Shimon Sferle, the Rav adopts Rav Shimon's Shita, that there is no concept of Muktzah ben Ashmashis, which extends throughout the entire Shabbos. According to Rav Shimon, when something is fit for use right now, when something is fit for consumption right now, it's mutter. It's irrelevant whether it was or wasn't Muktzah during Ben Hashmashis. Because according to Rav Shimon, the only thing that is really Muktzah, if something is rejected, it's unfit, it's useless. But if something has a use, something has a purpose now, it doesn't matter whether it was prepared for Shabbos, whether it was designated for Shabbos, what the status of this item was during Ben Hashmashis, we don't look at that. So if that would be the case, if Rav would follow Shittas Rav Shimon, in that case, the lamp would not be Muktzah, even though it was burning during Ben Hashmashis. Once the lamp goes out, he can handle it. He can go out and take it off the tree. And there should be a concern that he's going to use the tree on Shabbos. Says the Gemara again, Eli Amris, Rav Shimon Sferle, if you propose that Rav follows Rav Shimon's Shita, if so, Mali Shabbos, or Mali Yontav, what difference does it make if it's Shabbos and Yontav? In either case, there's a real concern that he'll use the tree. So apparently Rav follows Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, is that really the case? Is that so? Rav Kavuda Sferle? V'ha bo minei. The Rav. They asked the following halachic shayla of Rav. Mao l'tatule shraga the chanukza. May one be metaltal, move the Hanukkah menorah. Mikami chaver b'shabata. He's concerned about this nation called the chaver, the chaverim, who made life difficult for Yidden. They didn't allow to light their Hanukkah licht. Rashi has another pshat that they would forbid anybody from lighting a candle except in their house of worship during a specific holiday. So in any case, he wants to bring his Hanukkah menorah back into the house from the outside, so that these goyim don't notice it and they don't give him trouble. So the question is, can he do that on Shabbos after the flame goes out? Is it allowed or not? Again, ma'ol tatule shraga. Can a person handle the menorah, the candle, the chanukta of Hanukkah? Mikami chaver b'shabata. For fear of these chaverim, of these goyim, can he do so on Shabbos? The question is, since the menorah was lit during Ben Hashmashis, perhaps, it already quieted its din muktzah, which extends throughout Shabbos. V'amar lu, and Rav responded, yes, shapir dami, he can do so. So apparently, Rav does not contend that muktzah Ben Hashmashis affects its status throughout the entire Shabbos. Because Rav allowed them to go ahead and bring their menorah back home after the flame was extinguished. Says the Gemara, Shas Hadchak Shani. This was a pressing time, a Shas Hadchak, state of emergency. There was a Shas Hakana, afraid of the Goyim who come give him trouble, harm him. So, in that case, Rav allows. It's not something which he would ordinarily allow, but this case is unique. And as we will see from the following Gemara, as we see, because the Amrle Rav Kahana Rav Ashi Rav. Rav Kahana Rav Ashi challenged Rav. How can you say that it's mutter to bring the menorah to the home? Hachi Hilchasa, indeed, is this the halacha? Is that so, that it's not muktzah? Meaning they were surprised. They figured that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's muktzah. And he told them, Amrlehu, you're right. Yes, indeed. Ordinarily, I would consider this to be muktzah. But this case is different. Ktayu Rab Shimon. He's worthy enough. Lismach Allah b'shas al-chak, to rely on him in a time of pressing need. So apparently, it wasn't that Rav generally adopted Rab Shimon's shita. This was a unique circumstance, and he provided an exemption on account of the sakana of the goyim. So the conclusion is that yes, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but on Shas al-chak he relies on Rab Shimon. Continues the Gemara. Okay, let's discuss Rab Shimon's shita. We know that Rab Shimon is very selective in his application of muktzah. So when indeed is it considered to be muktzah, like in according to Rab Shimon? Says the Gemara, "Boy minei, Rab Shimon, Reish Lakish Rab Yechanan." So Reish Lakish asked the following question of Rab Yechanan. Let's analyze Rab Shimon's shita. Chita mishazoron bekarka. Suppose he planted grains of wheat. Bakarka in the earth, the beitzim shetachas tanegoilis, eggs that are sitting under the hen for incubation. Now, what is the halacha of these items? Are they muktzah or not? Now, obviously, the chitim that we're discussing here were not placed inside the ground, but rather on the surface. Otherwise, certainly it would be muktzah. You can't move the earth. You can't certainly can't dig them out of the ground. So the question here is whether these items, which are still fully fit for consumption, are still fully edible, are they considered to be muktzah according to Rab Shimon? Mao, ki lesley the Rab Shimon muktzah. When does Rab Shimon not apply muktzah? Heicha de loydachi biyadayim. When the person hasn't set the item aside, hasn't actively set it aside. He wasn't doich, he didn't reject it. But in this case, where he rejects the items, he planted the wheat. He indicated that he has no intention of eating it. He placed the eggs under, or he allowed to put the eggs to remain under the hen. He indicates that he has no intention of consuming these eggs. Heicha d'dach b'yadayim, when he actively sets these things aside, isle muktzah? Does Rav Shimon contend that Rav Shimon apply that muktzah applies in this case? Meaning, even though it's still fully fit for consumption, it's still roy, it's still chazi, there's nothing wrong, nothing deficient with the item. Nevertheless, since he is being doyech b'yadayim, he's pushing it away. He's being seich das from it, so to speak. Perhaps, even Rav Shimon agrees that muktzah applies. Oy dilma, perhaps loishna? No, even in this case, muktzah will not apply. There's no difference. Why? Because these items are still fully edible, perfectly fit for consumption. There's nothing wrong with them. So even though he placed the chitim b'karka, or the beitzim under the tanegoilis, he intends on leaving them there to get incubated. Nevertheless, since they're still fit for use on Shabbos, it's not muktzah. According to Rav Shimon, the only time we have muktzah when it's totally unfit. It's absolutely rejected, inherently inappropriate, unsuitable for Shabbos. But these things are fully suitable to be used on Shabbos. Amar Leis, Rabbi Yechon responded, Ein muktzah Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon does not apply muktzah. Only Ella. Shemenish Shebener, only oil within a lamp, b'shol shudoylik. When the Ner Shabbos is burning, why is that? Hoyel, since, v'huktzil mitzvah, since it was set aside to be used for the mitzvah, it's feeding the Ner Shabbos. V'huktzil yisuri, and it is also set aside for Isser. What does that mean, it's set aside for Isser? Since it's inside the Ner, one cannot go ahead and draw that oil, as we learned several times. Drawing oil from a lit flame involves a melach of mechabit, because by doing so he diminishes the flame, he dims the brightness of the flame. It's considered to be melach of mechabit. So we have two factors interplaying. We have the huktzel mitzvasai and we have the huktzel yisurai. So this dual element of mitzvah and iser combined to make it muktzah, even according to Rav Shimon. But not those chitim or those beitzim shetach san regoilis, they're not muktzah. Okay, says the Gemara, so you need two factors, is that true? You need huktzel mitzvasai and huktzel yisuri, one of them. For instance, huktzel mitzvasai would not be sufficient to achieve the status of muktzah according to Rav Shimon. But lastly, huktzel mitzvasai, asks the Gemara, we know that's not to be so. Va'atani, we learned in the Braisa. Sichicho kilchasa, if a person covered his sukkah on sukkahs properly, v'itzur v'kramim, and he decorated it with these colored sheets, Ubasadinam tsiyarim, with other types of embroidered sheets. Vitalaba goizim, and he hung in the sukkah. Nuts, the frasik, and peaches, shkedim, almonds, remain in pomegranates. Va'afarchile, shalanovim, these clusters of grapes. He did this all for nice sukkah, to decorate a sukkah. Va'atar shalshabon, wreaths of grains, or glasses of little containers of yenis, wine, shmonim, oil, slotis, flowers. So he did it for Noyi Sukkah. He designated these items to be used for, to serve as a Noyi, as a beautification for a Sukkah. Also, Le'estavik, man, he cannot go ahead and partake and consume these items ad until after the entire Sukkah, ad Motzi Yontav Achron, after the entire Yontav Sukkah. Why? Because it's designated for mitzvah. It's Hutzul Mitzvah. Continues the Braisa. Vim Hisna Lane, but if he made a stipulation, made it tonight, that I'm not interested in disengaging from these items, so he made this night prior to Yom Tov. Hakolif Itnoi, it all follows his Tanai, and he can indeed partake in these items. So you see clearly that merely Hutzul Mitzvah alone, this factor alone is a standalone factor. It grants a status of muktzah to an item. And as Rashi points out, even during Chol HaMoed, which is nor Shabbos nor Yom Tov, he cannot go ahead and be mistopic from these Noyi Sukkah. He can go ahead and use this Noyi Sukkah. Even though during Chol HaMoed there's no concept of Huktali Surai, one can move all kinds of items on Chol HaMoed. Nevertheless, he cannot consume these items, even on Chol HaMoed. Although there's no factor of Huktal Mitzvasai. So why is it Asur? On account of Huktal Mitzvasai. So although there's no factor of Huktal Mitzvasai, there is a factor of Huktal Mitzvasai. And therefore, it's Asur to be used on Yom Tov. And even on Chol HaMoed. So apparently, according to Reb Shimon, Huktal Mitzvasai is sufficient. Says the Gemara, how do you know this Braisa was authored by Reb Shimon? Who am I, Reb Shimoni? Says the Gemara the Tani, because we learned a different Braisa, where there it is clearly indicated that according to Reb Shimon, Huktzul Mitzvasai is sufficient to give it a din muktzah. The Tani Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Kamei de Rav Yochanan. So Reb Chiya Bar Yosef learned in front of Rav Yochanan the following Braisa. The Braisa says, "E noitlin etim min hasukkah b'yomtiv." One cannot go ahead and remove pieces of wood from a sukkah. We're not speaking about the sukkah of Chag HaSukkah. We're speaking about a hut, a sukkah as a hut. B'yom Tov, on a Yom Tov, like a Pesach or Shavuos. So we're speaking about a hut which was a bit wobbly on Erev Yom Tov. He knew that some boards are going to go flying on Yom Tov, are going to be dismantled from the sukkah on Yom Tov. Nevertheless, even after this board became separated from the hut, he could not go ahead and move this eitz. Why is that? Because this piece of wood, which was attached to the hut, to the sukkah, during the beginning of Yom Tov, during the Ben HaShemashas of Yom Tov, became muktzah. What type of muktzah? Muktzah machmas iser, on account of prohibition. What kind of iser is involved in a piece of wood? It is the malacha of soiser, because one cannot go ahead and dismantle a hut on Yom Tov. You can't go ahead and pull off this piece of wood from the hut during Ben HaShemashas, during the first moments of Yom Tov. So it becomes aser, it becomes muktzah machmas iser. And this muktzah status continues, it prevails, it extends throughout the entire Yom Tov. So once again, einoitlin eitzim in asukah b'Yom Tov, one cannot go ahead and use and move this piece of wood, even if it fell off the sukkah, fell off the hut on Yom Tov, because it required the muktzah status during Ben HaShemashas. Unless he's using the wood which was only put next to the sukkah, wasn't actually attached to the sukkah. For instance, there was a bundle of wood which was sitting next to the wall of the hut, that never became muktzah, because his das was to use these pieces of wood. They were never part of the hut. There was never an issur involved in actually taking these pieces of wood, because there was no stiras oil. He wasn't dismantling any oil. They weren't really part of the oil to begin with. So in this case, these items are mutter. So this is the Tanakam, who holds that once something is muktzah ben HaShemashas, the muktzah status extends and continues throughout the entire Yom Tov. Reb Shimon matir. Reb Shimon says, no, it's allowed, it's mutter, it's permitted. Why? Because according to Reb Shimon, even when something is mukta ben hashmashis, if the reason for that gave it, that provided the mukta, goes away, it dissipates. For instance, this piece of wood, which indeed was attached to the hut during ben hashmashis, but now it became separate, fell off, it became dismantled. It's sitting on the floor. Now it's not part of the oil. Now there's no isser involved, no isser of stiras oil involved. Therefore, Reb Shimon says it's not mukta. So it's irrelevant whether it was mukta ben hashmashis. We look at the present moment. Can it be used now? Then it's okay. Because even though it was mukta machmas isser during ben hashmashis, his mind was on it. He had das. He knew this thing is going to fall apart. He saw the sukkah was wobbling. He saw the sukkah was disintegrating. This is how the Gemara in the Gemara in the Bay explained this halacha. We're speaking about a sukkah ru'ua, a sukkah which was wobbly, and he expected this piece of wood to come apart, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, it's mutter. This is similar to the halacha we discussed by the ner. And according to Reb Shimon, even though during ben hashmashis the entire ner was part and parcel of the muktzah, there was the shemen which was supporting the flame, there was the ner which was supporting the flame, nevertheless, since he anticipated the availability of the ner, he expected, he was looking forward, he was anticipating the flame to go out on Shabbos, his das was still there, his kavanah's machshava was there, he didn't divert his mind from this ner. Therefore, the fact that his machshava is there, it allows him eventually to use it once the reason for the muktza goes away. Here too, since right now the eight is not part of the oil, since his mind was on it, daiti loya, he expected it to come loose. Therefore, it's not muktza. Vishavan continues the brisa. They all agree. Tanakam and Rishon both agree. Besukas achag bechag. What about a sukkah on chagasukas? Shehi asura. In this case, all agree that it's asur. Why do all agree that it's asur? Because it was designated to be used for the sukkah shel mitzvah. This is not just a mukta machmas isur because of the malacha of stira, which is not allowed on Shabbos and Yontif. The reason why the piece of wood is mukta is because it's designated to be used for the mitzvah of sukkah. Therefore, even if it comes apart, it doesn't matter. It's still considered to be designated for the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah of sukkah extends throughout the entire Yom Tov. As long as it's still Yom Tov, this piece of wood is still muktzah. So we see very clearly that according to Reb Shimon, this factor alone, huktzul mitzvah alone, grants an item a status of muktzah. So you must not say that two factors are needed according to Reb Shimon. Number one, huktzul mitzvah, and number two, huktzul li isurai. Even the huktzul mitzvah alone is sufficient to give it a din muktzah. Now let's just finish the brayse. The brayse concludes with these words: "V'im hisna leo, hakolif itnoi." As the Farshim explained, this is going back on the regular, ordinary hut, not on Sukkot itself, but a hut on a Pesach, on Shavuos. That according to the Tanakhama, if a piece of wood breaks loose on Yom Tov, he cannot use it. However, the brayse tells us, but if he stipulated originally, he knew that it was coming apart, so he made a tanai. He says, I want to use this piece of wood when it comes apart on Yom Tov. Even according to Tanakama, it's not muktzah. Okay, so once again, getting back to Reb Shimon, we see very clearly, according to Reb Shimon, once something is designated for mitzvah use, that gives it a din of muktzah. So how can Reb Yechon say that there's no muktzah according to Reb Shimon unless it is huktzul mitzvasai and also in addition to that, huktzul yisuroi? Here we see that we don't need two factors. Says the Gemara, Ke'ein shemen shebener kamrinon. When Rabbi Yechon said that the only muktzah according to Reb Shimon is the shemen shebener, because it has both factors, he didn't mean specifically the shemen in the ner, the shemen that's in the ner shel mitzvah, because it has two factors, it is huktzul mitzvasa, and also it is designated for Isser, he cannot go ahead and draw from that oil because of the malacha machaba. He didn't mean that. He meant something which is similar to that, similar in concept. Meaning, as long as something is designated for a mitzvah, just like the shemen in the ner shel mitzvah is designated for a mitzvah, that alone, that reason alone, is certainly sufficient to make it muktzah according to Reb Shimon. Hoyl behuksel mitzvasai, since it's designated for its mitzvah, huksel is suroi, as Rashi explains, huksel is suroi means that the designation for mitzvah extends as long as the ner is burning. As long as this isur is still present, as long as the ner, the flame is still burning, as long as the mitzvah is still burning. So the words huksel is suroi means that it's designated for mitzvah on account of the isur. Huksel is suroi means on account of the isur of terminating the mitzvah. One cannot cut the mitzvah in the middle. It cannot terminate. It cannot bring it to a halt. So he basically means one thing. When something is designated to be used for a mitzvah, it becomes muktzah. And as long as the mitzvah is still present, for instance, the ner of mitzvah, as long as it's still burning, there's an issa to terminate this mitzvah. It's huksel isur. There's an issa to terminate this mitzvah. And therefore, the designation holds as long as the ner is there. Just as we find by Sukkos. As long as the Chag HaSukkos, as long as it's still Yom Tov, the items which are designated for the Yom Tov, for the Sukkah, whether it's the Eitzim of the Sukkah, whether it's the Noyei Sukkah, the decoration of the Sukkah, they have a din of Muktzah, since they're Huktzah Mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, Itmar Nami. Similarly we learned, Amar B'chi Ba'abar Rav Yochanan, Ein Muktzah Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon only applies Muktzah, Ela Ke'ein Shemen Shebener B'shoh Shu Doilek. So here clearly he's saying it's not specific to the Shemesh B'ner, Ela Ke'ein Shemesh B'ner. When you have an object, which is similar, which has similar status to the Shemen in a Ner of Shabbos, it's considered to be Muktzah. Ela Ke'ein Shemesh B'ner B'sho Shudolik, as long as the flame of the mitzvah is burning. Why? Hoyil V'huktzil Mitzvasai. Since the Shemen is designated, set aside to be used to feed, to provide for the Ner Shel Mitzvah, Huktzel Isuri, indeed it retains its Muktzah status as long as the flame of Mitzvah is burning and it is Usur to terminate it. He must keep it there and maintain its designation. So in summary, according to Reb Shimon, Muktzah will apply to something which is Huktzel Mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, Omar Vida Mashmo. We actually have another type of Muktzah, according to Reb Shimon, even though it's not Huktzel Mitzvah. Ein muktzah l'Rav Shimon. There's no muktzah according to Rav Shimon. Ela only groy groy svitzimukim levad. So, in a non-mitzvah circumstance, where do we find muktzah according to Rav Shimon? We'll find it by groy groy svitzimukim, dried figs. That's groy groy svitzimukim, are raisins, as Rashi explains. So this was their custom to take the fresh figs or fresh grapes, place it up on the roof for drying. So when it's fresh, it certainly is edible. Once it dries, it's edible. But the question is, this interim period between the fresh stage and the drying stage, at this point, this in-between stage, it's unfit, it's not chazi, it's not edible. Therefore, according to Reb Shimon, it is muktzah, because it's totally rejected. It's not fit for human consumption. Once again, ein muktzah Reb Shimon, Ela groygrois, these dried figs, vitzimukim, these raisins, bovat. Because between the time that it's fresh and between the time that it gets dried, it's not fit. It's not chazi. It's not ruim achila, Rashi says. And therefore, it's totally rejected from Shabbos use, and it's muktzah even according to Reb Shimon. Says the Gemara, so only figs and grapes have this halach. Other types of food that were placed on the roof for drying, which are not really completely inedible, they're not completely not royal achila. They're somewhat, deteriorate somewhat, they meskalka a little bit. So you maintain that those are not muktzah according to Reb Shimon. Umi de'achmin eloi, v'atani, but we learned the braisa otherwise. Hoy oicha b'teinim, one was eating figs, v'hoyser, he left some over. V'helen l'gag, he decided to bring it up on the roof. Last ones, grey grace, to turn them into dried figs. Or, ba'anovim, he was eating grapes, v'hoyser, and he left some over, v'helen lagag, and he took it up to the roof, last man simukin, to make them into raisins. Lo yoichal achiyazman, he cannot eat those drying items on the roof, achiyazman, until he designates them, he specifically sets them aside, he says, I'm going to eat this on Shabbos. Otherwise it's muktzah. V'chein ha-to'imer, the same halacha applies to farsikin, peaches, v'chavushin, quinces, u'b'shalcha mina pears, and other sorts of fruits. So you see clearly that this halacha of muktzah is applied even to fruits other than figs or grapes. Says, well, let's analyze who's the author of this brisa. Mani, whose shita are we following? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda, we found Rabbi Yehuda's shita. It can't be. Umahecha de loydachi biyadayim. Because since we find that even when a person doesn't actually reject the item biyadayim, doesn't actually set it aside. For instance, if he has some food sitting in the storehouse in the oitzer, he didn't push it away. He wasn't doicha them. It's merely sitting in his oitzer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that is considered to be muktzah because not prepared for Shabbos. Umahecha, since we find the loydachi biyadayim, in a case where he hasn't rejected, he hasn't pushed it away. Islam muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that too is considered to be muktzah, because once again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, hachana is required, preparation is required. Food sitting in a warehouse is not prepared for Shabbos use. So we find that even there, Rabbi Yehuda considers it to be muktzah. Heicha de dachi biyadayim, here in our case, when he pushes it aside, he actively sets it aside with his own hands, he goes and places it on the roof, which indicates that he's not interested in eating it right now. Certainly, like Kolshkein, certainly has a din of muktzah, there's no need for the brisa. So teach us this halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's pashat. It's obvious. Like according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is muktzah. So this brisa cannot be following shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Elo must be, elo lab, Rabbi Shimon. The author of the brisa is Rabbi Shimon. The brisa is based on Rabbi Shimon's opinion, who does not apply this broad application of muktzah. And only this case, when he was doicha, the item, he pushes it away from eating it, he puts it on the roof. According to Rabbi Shimon, that is considered to be muktzah. So we see that this halacha applies not only to the te'enim, to the groigrois v'tzimukim, the dried figs and raisins, but even to any other type of fruit as well. Since it deteriorates somewhat, and he pushed it away. So according to Rabbi Shimon, this combination, it is somewhat a deficient item, together with him setting it aside, creates muktzah. Says Gemara, no. Lo'ilu Rabbi Yehuda. Truthfully speaking, this brisa is found in Rabbi Yehuda's shita. According to Rabbi Shimon, muktzah will only apply to those two items, the groigrois v'tzimukim, since they really deteriorate extensively. They become totally unfit for achila. But other fruits don't have the same halacha. This brisa is found in Rabbi Yehuda. Wow, what is the chiddush of the brisa? Why does the brisa need to tell us this halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda? The bison needs to inform us, even when he's in the middle of eating it, he sat down to eat these fruits. He left some over, he placed it on the roof. Perhaps I would think that's different. Perhaps I would say, I can entertain a thought. Since he began eating this and he intended on eating it, so he indicated that this is meant for his meal. So even when he went ahead and placed some of it on the roof, perhaps it doesn't become muktzah. It's probably was part of his the food that he set aside for his own consumption, his own achila. Now he doesn't need to designate them. They don't lose their prepared status. Kamash Malon, yes, the Braisa teaches us. Kiven the Helen Lagag, once he placed it on the roof, Asuchi Aschil Daituminayu. He totally diverted his attention from them. And although initially intended on eating them, since he placed it on the roof, it loses its status, it becomes muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, the muktzah will only apply to groigrois v'tzimukim on account of the fact that they are completely einoi roi l'achila, they're not fit to be eaten. Boi minei Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi min Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, asked his father Rabbi. According to Rabbi Shimon, patz'ilei tmar l'Rabbi Shimon mau. According to Rabbi Shimon, what about these patz'ilei tmar, these unripe dates? They're not really so edible. You could eat them, but they're not really so edible. They used to place them in these baskets for them to ripen. So according to Rabbi Shimon, is this considered to be muktzah? Since it's not really edible? Amar lei, so Rabbi responded, no, this is not muktzah. Ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon. The only time you find muktzah, according to Rabbi Shimon, ella, it's only groigrois v'tzimukim levad. Only these figs and these grapes, which were laid on the roof to dry, and as we explained earlier, they're totally inedible, they're not really l'achila. And as Rashi points out here, there are actually two factors playing together. Number one, says Rashi, didachinu biyadayim. He pushed them away, he shoved them away, he rejected them biyadayim, he actively set them aside, he placed them on the roof. He indicated that They're not going to be eaten now. They're not meant to be eaten. Number two says Rashi, v'loy chazu. They're not edible. They're not fit. They're not royal achila. So we have two factors that are combining, that are playing together. We have a combination of two elements. One, on account of the item. It's a deficient item. It's a deficiency on account of the chefsa. Number two, the person as well, the owner, indicated his unwillingness to be involved with these items on Shabbos. He set them aside. He separated them. He was doicha them. He rejected them. So we have one factor on account of the chefza, a deficient item, and number two, on account of the god of the person. So both of these factors join together and combine to create muktzah, according to Reb Shimon. However, these patzilei tamar, these unripe dates, it's not considered to be muktzah. Why? Because he wasn't doicha them. He didn't shove them aside. He didn't reject them. And as Rashi points out, in Beitza says that they're still somewhat edible. So either way, these patzilei tamar don't fit the bill of muktzah, according to Reb Shimon. So in conclusion, in summary, according to Reb Shimon, what is considered to be muktzah? So far we have a couple of different items. We began with the chitim shezoron bekarka, or the beitzim shetachasam negoilis. The Gemara concluded that's not muktzah. Why? Because even though he shoved them aside, rejected them, he set them aside, he actively set them aside, nevertheless, it's right, they're totally edible. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, it's not muktzah. What about the shemen that's from a ner on Shabbos? Whether it's in the ner, whether it's dripping from the ner, which is burning, that is considered to be muktzah, because it was designated for the mitzvah ner Shabbos. We proceeded with gregers yitzimukim, these figs that are drying, these grapes that are drying, those are muktzah, on account of two reasons. There are two factors interplaying. Number one, he was doicha them, the owner shoved them away. Number two, they're not roi, they're not fit. They're not roi l'achila. However, other types of fruits, including these patzilei tamar that we just discussed, are not muktzah, since they're still roi. And also, sometimes there's no dichoy as well. Like in this case of patzilei tamar, there was no dichoy. The owner never shoved them aside. So, on both accounts, they do not have the status of muktzah. Continues the Gemara. V'rebi lesle muktzah. So Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, asked Rebbe, what is going to be the din of these dates, these unripe dates, according to Reb Shimon? Apparently, the fact that he questioned his father with the context of Reb Shimon's Shita, apparently he knew that his father, that Rebbe, adopts Reb Shimon's Shita. Rebbe lesle muktzah, that's what Rebbe doesn't hold of this broad application of muktzah, with Reb Yudah's application of muktzah, he holds like Reb Shimon. But haven't we learned in a Mishnah otherwise? Mishnah says, "E mashkin v'sheichetzam midbaris." One may not go ahead and give to drink and to slaughter the midbaris, the undomesticated animals. We'll soon see exact definition of these words. So Rashi explains that it's to give them to drink so that the hide would come off easily. So one may not get involved. One may not shech these types of animals because they're muktzah. Aval, but mashkin he can give to drink v'sheichet and shech. That's bayosos. It's a bayosos. The domesticated animals, they're not muktzah. So what exactly is the definition between, the difference between midbaris and baisos? Says the Brayso, V'tani, we learned in the Brayso, Eilu'e midbaris, what are considered to be range animals, midbarios, kol sheyoytzis v'pesach, they leave during the Pesach season, during the spring season, and they stay out there and they wander in the wilderness, and they only come back when it begins raining. V'nechnarsis v'rviya, they come back when the rain season begins. They're considered to be undomesticated. They're considered to be wilderness animals, range animals. They're muktzah. They're not meant to. They're not designated for his. They're not prepared for his mukhan, for his consumption. They're considered to be muktzah, and one cannot shech these animals on Yom Tov. What about bayasos? What are they? These are home animals, domesticated animals. They are not muktzah. How do we define them? Says the Brayso, Kol sheyoytzis v'royis chus atchum. So on a daily basis, they go out and they pasture, they graze outside of the tchum of the city. However, they come right back. Ubois, valonois, pesecha tchum. At night, they come back into the tchum. So they're considered to be non-muktzah animals. So this is the shita of Tanakam. Rabbi Yomer, Eilu Eilu Bayosai Sein. I consider both of these things to be non-muktzah, and one can go ahead and shechta man yomtiv. Ve'ilan midbaris, what then is the definition of midbaris? Kol sheroiz ba'afar, they go ahead and they graze out in the pasture a whole year long. Ve'ein echnasas leisha, don't come back to the settlement, they don't return ever. Lo yimaisacham, lo yimaisacham, not in the summer or the winter. So they're considered to be out of balance, they're considered to be muktzah. They're not prepared for personal use, for consumption, and they are muktzah on yomtiv. So, apparently, the fact that the Rebbe discusses the halachas of muktzah, it's a question of definition, but he agrees to the concept, to the underlying principle, that an animal which is not prepared for use, an animal which is out in the wilderness, is considered to be muktzah, since it wasn't prepared for yomtiv. Whose shita is this? Whose opinion is this? This is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yehuda the Islam muktzah applies the concept of muktzah in this case. He holds that something needs to be prepared for Shabbos. So apparently Rebbe is indeed adopting Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, not Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So how does this stem? How is this consistent with the dialogue between Rabbi Shimon and Rebbe, which indicated to us that Rebbe adopts Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold a muktzah? Says Zimar, we have three answers. Iboy Seimer, the first teretz is that Hani Nami, these animals, are also considered in the same category of kegroigrois v'tzimuk and damyan. Just as we said before, that according to Reb Shimon, when we have these drying figs or grapes, they are indeed muktzah. Why? On two accounts. Because they're not roi, and number two, because he was doicha them. Here too, these animals with which the owner allowed to go ahead and graze in the wilderness, and he was doicha them by allowing them to wander that far. And number two, it's a teirach. There's a bother to go ahead and go bring them back. So we have two factors interplaying. Number one, the owner was doicha them. Number two, there's some sort of deficiency. There's a lack of convenience in the actual chayfetz itself. Rashi says, yish teirach, there's a teirach to go ahead, leilach v'viyam, to go fetch them. So we have two factors playing together. And the Gemara maintains that perhaps this can be equated to the Gregor's Vitzimukim, which according to Reb Shimon, Muktzah applies to them here too. Even if Rebbe holds of Shitas Reb Shimon, these animals are Muktzah, even according to Reb Shimon. So it all works together. That's the first teretz. V'boisem, if you will, I'll give you another teretz. That indeed, Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, the Islam Muktzah. He applies muktzah to these animals that are not prepared for yomtiv. So why then did Rebbe discuss Shitas Reb Shimon earlier? Why did he discuss the opinion of Reb Shimon with his son? He was relating to Reb Shimon's words, Reb Shimon's opinion, but he himself doesn't contend, so he holds like Reb Yehuda. That's fair enough. He holds like Reb Yehuda, but he was discussing Shitas Reb Shimon. Another teretz. He himself holds like Reb Shimon, as indicated in the dialogue with his son. The discussion in the Braisa regarding the definition, the exact meaning of the words Midbarios and Bayosois with regard to Muktzah, Rabbi Yehuda's Muktzah, he was relating to Rabbanan. He was telling the Rabbanan, look, I don't agree with the concept of Muktzah in this case, but let's discuss your opinion. You hold of Muktzah evidently, and you define Midbarios in one way and Bayosois in another way. I want to disagree with that definition, with that interpretation. Iboi Sami says Zimar Ludivraim the Rabbanan Kamarlu. He's relating to the words of the Rabbanan. Lididi, according to me, Leslie Muktzah. I don't agree with Muktzah altogether. Leslie Muktzah Klal. However, Lididchu, according to what you're saying, you hold on Muktzah. Okay, but let's analyze the definitions. What is Midbarius? What is Bayasais? Oy Dulumios, agree with me. Concede to me. The Echa, the Yoitzah, the Pesach, an animal that goes out during the springtime. Vinachnosis, Berviah, but comes back at the onset of winter, at the beginning of the rain season. The bayasas, you know, they're considered to be domesticated animals, they're not muktzah. Why do you consider those to be muktzah? Rabbanan respond, they say, no. Loi mitbarius ninu. They are considered to be mitbarius, they're considered to be animals of range, of wilderness. They are not considered to be prepared and destined, designated for his use. Therefore, they're muktzah. Okay, so we have Rabbi Yehuda's Shita and Muktzah, Rabbi Shimon's Shita. Who does the halacha follow? Omar, Rabba, Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yechanan. Omru, the Bnei HaYeshiva said, halacha k'Rav Shimon. The halacha follows Rav Shimon's view. Says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Can you say that Rav Yochanan adopts Shitas Rav Shimon? V'ha ba'a minei. How was Saba, this elderly man, asked Rav Yochanan? How was Saba Kiruya? So he came from this town, Amar Siruya was a different town. He asked from Rav Yochanan, what's going to be the halacha in the following case? Kino Shatana Goylis. We have a portable chicken coop. Mal etatulu b'Shabbos. Can it be moved on Shabbos? Is it mukta? Amar Leis, Rav Yochanan responds, Klum Asoy Ela Tanagolim, isn't it made specifically? Isn't it meant? Isn't it designated for chickens? So it's mukta. Why is it mukta? It's malachta leisur. It's meant to service the chickens, which are balechayim, which are mukta. Apparently, says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan adopts Shitas Rav Yehuda, who holds that mukta machmas isur is mukta, whereas according to Rav Shimon, it wouldn't be mukta. So we have a contradiction in Rav Yochanan. Here he says that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and then he rules according to Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara, this is unique. This is different. In this case, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's mukta. Hachem Ha'eskinan was speaking out the following case. This be a freyach meis. In this chicken coop, there is a freyach, a little chick that is dead. So this freyach meis is present in the coop. And this is certainly mukta, even according to Rav Shimon. It's unfit. It's totally rejected from any Shabbos use. It's mukta machmas gufay. And therefore, the coop is also mukta. Why? Because it's serving as a support, as a basis for this Efroyach Meis. Says the Gemara, is that mukta according to Rav Shimon? And Efroyach that dies on Shabbos is mukta? Ha'anicha, this works well according to Mar Bar Meimar, the name of Rav, who said, Do'amar moidah Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon agrees, but Balchayim Shemeis v'shasurin, a Balchayim that dies on Shabbos or Yontov is mukta. Ella lemar b'ed Rav Yosef, according to Mar b'ed Rav Yosef, who said mishmei Rava, the name of Rava, the Amor said cholak hayor b'shimon. B'shimon disagrees. Afilu b'balachaim shemesu, even regarding animals that died on Shabbos or Yontif, shem utar. He maintains that they're not mukta since they can be fed to a dog. So according to Rav Shimon, this afroyach meis is not mukta. It can still has some use. It's still useful. Michael Meimer, if so, why is this Kino Shatan Negoilis, this chicken coop, why is it mukta? According to Rav Shimon, it's not mukta, even if it has the Efroyach Meis present in it. Says the Gemara, Ochmai Eskinon, we must be speaking of the following case, the Isbei Beitza. There's an egg in there, a newly laid egg, which is Noilad, it was formed, it was created on Shabbos. Therefore, even according to Rav Shimon, it's mukta. And since it's sitting on the coop is also mukta. Says the Gemara, is that so? According to Rav Shimon, Noilad is mukta, something which was born, created on Shabbos, is mukta? Why? Since it wasn't prepared for Shabbos, it's something new. According to Rav Shimon, preparation is never required. The Omar of Nachman, did Rav Nachman tell us, Man, the Islam mukta, the Shita, according to Rav Yehuda, who holds of mukta, that something needs to be prepared for Shabbos, Islam Noilad. He maintains that something which was born on Shabbos, an egg which was laid on Shabbos, is also mukta, since it wasn't prepared from before Shabbos. The Leslie Mukta, however, of Shimon, who does not contend, does not apply Mukta, Leslie Noilet, he doesn't hold of Noilet as well. Even an egg which was laid on Yom Tov, which is a completely new entity, it's not Mukta. You can eat it, it's edible, go ahead, Gzuntahait, even though it wasn't prepared beforehand. So indeed, this newly laid egg is not Mukta according to Rav Shimon. So why is the chicken coop Mukta according to Rav Shimon? Says the Gemara, okay. So we'll give you a third answer. The isve beitzas efroyach. We're not speaking about a plain egg. We're speaking about an egg which is an unhashed egg. Therefore, it's not edible for human consumption, and it's not either edible for the dog, as Rashi says, on account of its shell. So it's a completely mukta item, even according to Rav Shimon. It's rejected from Shabbos use, and it is mukta machmas gufay as a result of its uselessness. And therefore, this coop, which contains this egg, is also mukta as well. So once again, the kina shatar negoilis, this chicken coop, is mukta. We have two approaches. According to Rav Yehuda, it's mukta because it's a klishim lachta leisur, it's serving the chickens. According to Rav Shimon, it's either because there is an efroyach meis in there, a dead chick, which is mukta, even according to Rav Shimon, or if you maintain that according to Rav Shimon, that is not mukta, we must say that it has a beitzas efroyach in there, an unhatched egg, which is useless. And therefore, it's mukta according to Rav Shimon as well. Continues the Gemara, Ki Aser Bitzchak, Bar Yosef, When Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef came along, he said, in the name of Yochanan, or Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan maintains the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Muktzah. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Machlekes, which Rabbi Yochanan holds K'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds K'Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef exclaims, I know, now I understand the exact wording of the previous statement. Hainu de Omar, Rabba Bar Chanan of Yochanan. Previously we said, and Rabba told us, Rabba Chanan, name of Yochanan, that Omru, that the Bnei Yeshiva said, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. So they said that Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. Why did he use those words? Omru, they said. Apparently this is not Rabbi Yochanan's own opinion. Omru, they said, Velegla Svirle, however, Rabbi Yochanan himself does not agree with it. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Just as Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef testified. For Leila Svirle, he doesn't hold like that. He holds Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Abaye Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye was surprised. He told Rabbi Yosef, you needed Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef to inform you of that? To tell you that Rabbi Yochanan rules like Rabbi Yehuda? Va'at Le Tisbra, you didn't know that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Vaha, but there was a story. Don't you know this famous story? Rab Abba, Rab Asi, they both were iklu lebei Rab Abba. They came to the home of Rab Abba ben Chayfa. And what happened over there? Venafel menarta, aglimate, a candelabra fell down on the clothing, on the garment. The Rab Asi, he didn't go actually pick up the candelabra because the other was muktzah. The first one say he merely shook it off. He took his garment and shook off the menorah, and that way he didn't touch the actual handle, the actual muktzah. Why was Rav Asi hesitant to touch the menorah? My time, or why? Law mishum, is it not because Rav Asi talmid Rav Yochanan? Rav Asi was a student of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Rav Yehuda Svirle, this name muktzah. Rav Yochanan rules according to the sheet of Rav Yehuda, who applies muktzah in this case. We're speaking about a menorah which has no lit flame anymore. The flame was there during Ben Hashemashes, but at this point there's no flame burning. So why is this menorah muktzah? Apparently, since it was muktzah ben Hashemashes, it acquired its muktzah status throughout the entire Shabbos. So that's why he didn't want to touch it. That's why he didn't want to move it. So apparently, he didn't do so because he's a talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan adopts the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So why did you need a statement for Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef to tell you that Rabbi Yochanan adopts shita of Rabbi Yehuda? We know that from the story already. Amar Lei. So Rabbi Yosef responds to Abaye. You can't bring me any proof from that story of the menorah of the candelabra. The reason why he didn't handle the candelabra is not on account of muktzah. It's not because it's muktzah machmas isur. It's not because of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that is muktzah as well. Omalei menorah to kamrus. He's speaking about a candelabra. Menorah is shani. A menorah is different. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it would be considered to be muktzah. The Omar of Achar Bar Chanina, Omar of Asi, Hoira Rish Lakish, but Tzidon, Rish Lakish ruled in the city of Tzidon that a menorah, a candelabra, and it tells me about the Achas, a lightweight menorah which can be handled with one hand, Mutal Tatla, it can be handled on Shabbos. B'shteyad, if we have a heavyweight menorah which requires two hands to handle it, also Tatla, one cannot move it on Shabbos. And what is the reason? Because a heavy menorah is not meant to be handled. It's meant to remain in its place. One generally designates a specific location, a makim, to place the menorah there. It's fixed there, it's kavua there. It loses its status of a utensil, of a kli. It's meant to stay in place. Even according to Reb Shimon, it is not considered to be a kli on Shabbos, and it's muktzah. So all agree that a menorah is muktzah on Shabbos. You can't bring any proof from the story of menorah. The fact that Rav Asi hesitated to handle the candelabra, that evidently he is following Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. No, even Rav Shimon agrees that it's muktzah. Therefore, I needed to hear clearly from Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, who testified indeed that Rav Yochanan holds of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. I couldn't infer it from that story. So once again, Rish Lakish ruled in Tzidon that a heavy menorah that requires two hands to lift, Mut is also a tatla because it is considered to be fixed, it's kavua in its place, and it's not considered to be a kli any longer. So that's Shitas Rish Lakish, who differentiates between a heavy menorah and a light menorah. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says, even a lightweight menorah, even a menorah can be handled with yodei achas with one hand, is also considered to be muktzah because one doesn't walk around with his candelabra, with his candlestick. It's meant to remain in place, and therefore it doesn't have a status of a kli, and it's muktzah even according to Bishim. Rabbi Eichon Amar, Anu, this is Tosis' explanation of the Gemara, Anu, we ain lanu el b'ner k'Rav Shimon. We only maintain that according to Rav Shimon, a ner, a lamp, can be moved. Aval menorah, but a candelabra, whether it's small, whether it's big, bein nitala b'yadei achas, whether it's handled with one hand, it's a lightweight menorah, bein nitala b'shtei yodav, whether it's handled only with two hands, it's a heavy menorah, also a tatla cannot be handled on Shabbos, it cannot be moved on Shabbos. V'tayim mai, finally, what is the reason for this? Rabba v'Rav Yezam Tavai, they both explain as follows. Hoyu, v'odam koivei ala mokim, because the person generally specifies a specific location to place this menorah. It's not generally carried and moved around, and therefore it loses its status of kli. And even according to Shimon, it is muktzah on the Shabbos. Okay, it's so time for a chazara of today's daf. The Gemara began by relating that Rav adopts shitas Rabbi Yehuda and muktzah. However, by Chanukah, by the menorah of Chanukah, he allowed it to be brought into the house on account of sakana, and he said that this is different. Kedayu Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is worthy enough for us to rely on his opinion, b'shas hadchak, in a time of pressing need, and one may indeed bring the menorah back home to avoid sakana. The Gemara proceeded giving us various guidelines according to Rav Shimon, what is and what isn't muktzah. The Gemara concluded that there are actually five different types of muktzah according to Rav Shimon. We began on huktzah l'mitzvasai. We have an item which is designated to be used for a mitzvah. For instance, the shemen in the ner shel Shabbos, that is muktzah as long as the ner is burning. We have the eitzim and the decoration of sukkah, they are designated for mitzvah sukkah. One cannot use them, one cannot consume them throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkot. The Gemara told us that there are some items that are not roi l'achila, plus the owner actually rejected them, he set them aside b'yodayim. So we have two factors interacting with each other, and they render the item muktzah, even according to Rav Shimon. What is an example of that? Gregory's v'tzimukim. Those figs and grapes which were laid on the roof for drying, they're not roi l'achila at this point, and the owner was doichan b'yadayim, and therefore they're muktzah. The Gemara suggests that perhaps we can apply this concept to the behemoths that were led, that were allowed to go wander in the wilderness. Here too, perhaps, according to Rav Shimon, would be muktzah. According to Rav Shimon, a muktzah machmas gufay is also muktzah, something which is completely useless. For instance, money, which has no practical use on Shabbos. For instance, the Beitzas Efroyach, this unhashed egg, and some hold that also Baal Chai Shel Meis on Shabbos is considered to be muktzah according to Rav Shimon. Now we discussed this actually in the earlier daf, that when we have a muktzah machmas iser, for instance a lamp which is burning and the owner was Maseich Das from it because he didn't expect it to come available on Shabbos, it was a large container of oil, a kois or ka'ara, so even after for some reason the flame went out, it is still muktzah on account of this combined consideration, both these factors. The fact that it was muktzah machas isra, and in addition, the owner diverted his attention from it. He didn't expect it to become available on Shabbos. Therefore, it was set aside from Shabbos use. Finally, Gemara concluded with a new concept of kviyas makim. For instance, a menorah, which is meant to remain in position. The owner designates a specific location to place this menorah. He doesn't walk around with his candelabra in hand. Therefore, even according to Rav Shimon, it is not considered to be a kli, and it is also muktzah on Shabbos. Now we must point out this is merely a havamina. The Gemara soon will actually revert and change the halacha regarding the menorah, and will hold that a menorah is not considered to be muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon.